Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, the top story right here in Houston, the coaching search, and now we've had some more movement and understanding. This is Ian Rappaport of NFL Network talking about DeMeco and his situation with the Texans in their coaching search.
DeMeco Ryans has emerged as maybe the hottest coaching candidate, and we are getting some clarity on his situation. Sources tell me and my colleague Tom Pelissero right over there that DeMeco Ryans has emerged as top candidate for the Houston Texans. His former team obviously was a star linebacker there. So many people thought when he was a player, man, this guy's a head coach, and he is close to being exactly that. From what we understand, Ryans is set to meet with the Texans at some point after this game. If all goes well, and you know, you would think that it would, but if all goes well, he could be their next head coach. And of course, for Houston, it has been a little bit of an odyssey the last couple years as they're rebuilding on the fly, a couple different coaches. This is one of the, as I mentioned, hottest young coaches, bright young coaches, just 38 years old, extremely close to being an NFL head coach.
All right, Clint, you hear from Ian there. We know it. There is mutual interest from DeMeco Ryans towards the Texans. But I think the big thing there, Clint, is we've learned, we understand all the guys they've interviewed, all the guys they've brought in and brought in for second interviews. Of all of them, they're saying in this report from Ian Rappaport that DeMeco Ryans has emerged as their top candidate, Clint. That is new news right now, and I understand that's where the Texans want to go.
Yeah. I don't know what could have changed overnight in terms of DeMeco Ryans. Last night was arguably the most important night or the biggest night in preparation for a Sunday game, getting ready to have a perfect Friday, if you will. Before an NFC championship game. And so I don't know what the hell could have happened with him and their camp to all of a sudden make him swing from the guy that the Denver Broncos have zeroed in on to the team, the guy that the Texans are zeroed in on, and he's emerged as the top candidate. He's probably the top candidate for anybody that he's outside of Sean Payton that he's interviewed for. Yeah. I don't know how much is there. But I do believe that DeMeco Ryans is a top candidate for the Texans and probably the Denver Broncos as well. And we will find out because Monday is when they can interview these guys for a second time, him, Jonathan Gannon, and Shane Steichen. They can interview them all again starting Monday. There's a 4 or 5 day window there that's open for them. And we'll see how serious this report is. If DeMeco Ryans comes to town Monday or Tuesday and he leaves and they still hadn't made a decision, they're still talking about, well, we're going to wait for Shane Steichen, and we're going to interview.
That can't happen, though.
Strictly to this particular report, if that does happen, then this report is just hogwash, right? Yeah. But if this report is legit and it's actually stemming from something, and they get DeMeco Ryans in this building, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever it may be, when you get him in the building over here in NRG Stadium, you can't let him leave if this indeed is the case.
Yeah, and if he leaves, it has to be on – because if you're saying he's your guy, and I don't think Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport are reporting this without having full knowledge from somebody high up with the Texans that that's actually how they feel. And if he is your top guy, if he leaves, it has to be because he wants to hear Denver out. That has to be. But to me, if I'm Kyle McNair, if I'm Hannah McNair, I kind of agree with what John Lopez who said this earlier. Right now, I don't really care about Nick right now. Those two got to close the deal.
Yeah.
They got to, if this is your guy and he has interest in you too, which is being reported, you can't let him leave without being the head coach. You can't let him leave. That to me. And like you said, if they do let him leave, I would hope it's not because, oh, we want to hear Jonathan Gannon out.
It's not on their accord, yeah.
I want to hear Jonathan Gannon out one more time. I want to hear Shane Steichen out one more time. If this is your guy, you got to throw it all at him.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, man. If that's the dude that you want. Now you look at what Cal said Wednesday night when he spoke to Landry Locker. You know, it was clear. I mean, they're going to be patient and they're going to get the right guy. What's the timeline to get the right guy, which I absolutely love. Well, when that guy walks in the room, if he's that damn good, you better believe that other teams are going to feel that same way. And so you better put the full court press on him. So we'll see what happens. And the good thing is next time we're on air Monday, we should know a little something about what the Texans' next step are with three guys that are still on the table.
I got to say, Clint, I think the overall thing with this, and we've said it from the jump, the whole process and everything in each way, how they've arrived here has made sense. And it's crazy. I know this is crazy. But they did stuff that made sense. And they potentially are going to end up with the top candidate, right? And I know it's crazy. Before they were interviewing all these other people, then they end up with David Culley or they end up with Lovie Smith. Now they're interviewing all of the people. The process makes sense. They're bringing in people that could be real head coaches, and now they're zeroing in on somebody who is probably the top candidate outside of Sean Payton.
Isn't it funny how the national narrative, guys like Ian Rappaport and all these guys, how they – like he just described what the Texans have done as a little bit of an odyssey, hiring two coaches in 2 years, rebuilding on the fly. He very eloquently, positively kind of – gloss through what the Texans have done when in reality it was absolutely dysfunctional, incompetent, embarrassing. But the national folks, because you're doing things right now, the spin they put on it is unbelievably positive. It's wild, man. It's good to see them doing things in a competent manner and interviewing the right folks, that's for damn sure, regardless of where they land.
Well, it looks like the Texans are in the right step of potentially getting one of the best young coaching candidates out there.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint, I know we talked about prop bets, but let's really kind of hone in on these games coming up on Sunday as we look to get a Super Bowl matchup. Let's start off in the AFC, a little news there. Patrick Mahomes is off the injury report. Andy Reid, the head coach, said that he will be full go and will start on Sunday. I don't think anybody.
Andy, you ain't telling Houston nothing, Andy. I told him that. What was that, Wednesday at about 2?
Yeah. When he played in the second half, I think there was a safe bet that he was going to come back. Now I know the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite as of now. This line has moved so many times in both directions since Sunday. It's crazy. I know you are one who thinks the Bengals are going to win. I'm curious your reasoning on what is it going to take for them to have to get to win this game, the Bengals.
The Bengals?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, I think they've got the Chiefs' number. I mean, I think after watching what they have been the most in my opinion, the most impressive team in the playoffs to this point. What they did in Buffalo and the way that they've been able to overcome their problems on the offensive line, I think it's been awfully impressive, and what they've been able to do on the defensive side of the football has been awfully impressive. And so, I think this is a coin flip game. I just believe that the Bengals are going to come out on top. I don't have any, hey, they're better here or worse here. This is why they're going to beat them. I think it's going to be a tight ball game. I think it's going to end up being a shootout. I like the Bengals, and I like the over 48.
How do the Chiefs win the game? I know you like the Bengals, but in this game, like what will it be?
Well, I think the key to the game for both sides is about two guys that we've already talked about. I think it's Chris Jones and Max Sharping. I think if Max Sharping can not neutralize, because nobody's going to take Chris Jones out of the but we've seen Max Sharping, right? Well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Kenyon Green. But we've seen offensive linemen right here in this building just be overwhelmed for four quarters. Yeah. Right? We've watched that.
We've seen Max.
And if we're being honest, Max Sharping, the potential of Max Sharping being overwhelmed and having zero answers for four quarters with Chris Jones across the ball from him is very, very possible. I honestly believe that's where this game is won or lost. I believe that if Joe Burrow can sit back there and for the most part have a decent pocket, get the football out on time, and in critical moments, Chris Jones doesn't go make a monster play, I think the Bengals win this ball game. If Max Sharping and this offensive line is banged up for the Bengals, can't handle Chris Jones, then I think the Chiefs could win this thing double digits.
Yeah, Clint. I think the game to me lands on. You've said this for years since I've known you. The polo's on the sideline.
Yeah,
and in the previous three matchups, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals has dominated this matchup. He's dominated a Hall of Fame coach, Andy Reid. And knowing that Patrick Mahomes is not 100%, he's not going to be able to.
Sure.
Like sometimes, you know it, everybody who has watched the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, they're just sometimes he just makes plays that nobody else can. You could have the right defense called, and he does something with his talent and his instincts and makes plays. You got to believe that's not going to be – you can't just walk in believing Pat will give us two or three of those a game.
Yep. Because
he's just going to be limited. I don't care, especially the longer the game goes on with the cold, he's going to be limited. That's why his Hall of Fame head coach, this all-star offensive staff they have with former head coaches and Eric Bieniemy over there and Matt Nagy over there, they have to help Mahomes.
Yeah.
And they have to be a difference. And they got to figure out ways where they are not losing the battle against the defense of the Bengals. The Bengals, it's weird. Like, you look at their roster and their defense, you try to figure out how the hell are they so successful, especially in the second halves, and stopping this team. Like, they gave up 3 points in the second half against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year. Shut them out in the fourth quarter of this game. I think Andy Reid has to help Patrick Mahomes. You've said it. He's got to be a weapon. You've said that before with the Texans coach. He's got to be a weapon in this game.
Well, I think you make a good point, because I think there's additional pressure. I mean, those guys, the Kansas City Chiefs staff, they're always a weapon when you relative to the rest of the league. But now all of a sudden, you've got the pilot of your fighter jet right now is flying that thing one arm, so to speak. I mean, he is not. I don't care how well he is. I think he's going to be fine out of the gate, but he's not going to be a healthy Pat Mahomes that's tiptoeing down the sideline, doing spin moves and at the 2-yard line, falling over the goal line. Yeah. That ain't going to happen. You can't count on that right there. And so I do think it's going to be a little bit more pressure on those guys. But, man, I just think this thing's going to be a flat out shoot. Now, I don't know what the score ends up, because I don't know if they're going to turn it over, if they're going to bog down in the red zone and end up giving up field goals, or if they're going to be able to convert them into touchdowns. But I think these two teams are going to boat race between the 20s, I mean, up and down the field.
This ought to be a good one. That's the late game on Sunday to see if either the Chiefs get to their third Super Bowl in 5 years or the Bengals get to back-to-back Super Bowls coming up on Sunday.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, the other game, the early game in the NFC, Niners and Eagles. This is a 2.5-point line. With the Eagles as the favorite here. I think a lot of people are picking the 49ers in this game, of which I'm seeing. Clint, I just got to believe Brock Purdy, and I understand who his coach is, but I got to believe Brock Purdy going up against these quarterbacks, like a Jalen Hurts who has played at an MVP level this year, I got to believe at some point that is going to take its toll. Like, at some point, I don't know if Brock Purdy-led offense is going to be able to keep matching the Eagles. And he can't play like he played last week. That 19 points that they gave up, and he got helped by a lot of turnovers from Dak and Dallas. I think that's going to be the difference in the game, is we're going to start to see why he was the last pick of the draft. And him going up and the plays that he makes for his team compared to to Jalen Hurts. I think that's going to be the difference in the game.
Ooh, that's tough. Well, I tell you, 8-0, two or more touchdowns in seven of those eight games. I mean, Brock Purdy has been lights out. Now, the 49ers don't ask him to do the same things that other teams ask their star quarterbacks to do. So we're going to see how much of a star he really is. But I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if this game comes down to Brock Purdy needing to do
–
well, just needing to do – like, if this turns into the 49ers offense having to get outside their skin and all of a sudden be no huddle and try to attack vertically and all this kind of they're not going to win the ball game. I mean, it may look like Brock's – you know, his stat line may not be it, but they're not wired to be that way. I mean, you're going to have Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Kittle as your receivers. Those guys ain't attacking vertically. I mean, that's just not what they do. It's not what they're built to do. It's not what they were developed to do in San Francisco. And if it turns into that, then Brock Purdy's going to have more than being the last pick of the draft stacked against him. You know, I think this thing – I believe this game right here, I really believe this game right here comes down to exactly what San Francisco wants it to. It's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think that ultimately it's going to come down to, can he make the throws that Jimmy Garoppolo can't make or didn't make? Let's say he can't, because Jimmy can make them in the regular season when it doesn't matter. But in the big moments, Jimmy didn't make them flat out. That's just the reality of Jimmy Garoppolo. They're going to do what they do, stretch the field sideline to sideline, use the screen game, use all these exotic runs, and they're going to get you paying attention to what's going on in the backfield, paying attention to the run, bringing up another defender, and then boop, they're going to slip a Kittle, Hooper, George Kittle, or one of those down the seam, or over the top, and literally you hit it. Not only is it points, but now the defense is on their heels the rest of the game, and now you're back to running it and screening it and doing all that. If you don't, then they just squeeze you tighter. And so can Purdy make the throws that Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't make, and that's why he's getting run up out of town? I think that's the biggest deal. To your point, if it turns into Purdy having to win the ball game. Same thing on this side, though, Show. If this thing turns into Jalen Hurts having to sit in the pocket and win the ball game from the pocket because they can't run the football, the Eagles' offense is in trouble.
Yeah, it's in trouble. But you feel like you got a better chance, though, with Jalen and their weapons and Jalen's legs. Like, you get to be able to get out of stuff. I just – see, Dallas never made – and I don't think Brock has really had to be forced to do this. Dallas last week never got to a point in the game when they could have, but I think Dak had – costly turnovers and they had mistakes to where they took a lead and they were ahead, especially in the second half, and made them have to get into a place where you know Brock's got to throw.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when you got Fletcher Cox and you got Hargrove and you got Hassan Reddick and you got Barnett and those guys coming with that pass rush, if they know he's got to throw, I don't know how much Brock has had to face that, where he's going up against teams when he knows they have to throw. That game, like that, if they play a game like they played last week, I don't know.
I think he's cracked 300 once in his eight games that he's won 8-0. I think he's cracked 300 once. So
probably against Seattle in the playoff game, he had a big game. Yeah. So a couple, yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, I just don't know that, you know. Again, if the quarterback has to throw for 330 some odd yards, they either going to squeak that thing out at the end or they're going to get boat raced. That's not the game plan for San Francisco.
All right, think about it in your head during the break. How many guys, if D'Amico is the head coach, whoever it is going to be, but it looks like they're trying to target D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico is a head coach. How many guys would you say is in the selling point of the core guys that he gets to work with, the guys that he is going to be excited to work with? Let's think about that coming up next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Walnuts or cashews?
Cashews.
10 out of 10.
Is that why you brought the walnuts in? Or is it because we just disposed?
Walnuts.
Or, I mean, the almonds.
Almonds.
In? I meant almonds or cashews. That's what I meant.
Cashews still 10 out of 10,
yeah,
bro.
Each time.
I like the almonds. Almonds are good for you, too,
bro. A bit more healthier. That was a good snack. The cashews, boy, that hit, though. That hit.
Yeah, usually, you know, normal day boy will show he don't fall for the old snacks I got sitting over here. Usually,
yeah, he got me.
After old night out with old T Meal, hell, he'd either.
Speaking of that night out, as I said, one thing we've learned about Tyler Milner is the guy that when you go out, everybody's got a friend in the group that just buys shots, just purchases shots. You never
don't
know where it's coming
just
from.
Shows
no,
up
don't
on
ask
table.
Yet.
And guarantee a good time.
And we said for people to text in just the first name and the city of the person of where they're from. Well, we got a few in. My boy Allen, Coug alum, shots. He's the guy. My homie since day one, Justin Cherry. Some people didn't send in places. Allen, Perlin. We had a couple Baytown ones roll in here.
Oh, yeah. We got several. We got
Trey.
Several.
Trey from Baytown. That's his guy. Nelson from Katy. Blake, a.k.a. Breezy from P.A., Port Arthur.
Blake Breezy from the P.A., baby.
Y'all see my little brother text in?
Was that it?
You said, true. This is Sterling. Tyler's my shot guy.
Yeah, he is. I bet he is.
Oh,
my God, man. Roy, he's in here. Roy from Channel View. Shout out to you, Roy.
Hey, my boy, when we was in Cabo last week, my boy's like, we've been on this boat. We had this boat for 5 hours, right? And we ain't an hour in, and my boy's like, and he's been trying to be healthier, you know. And
yeah, of course.
He's like, hey, no more of this beer, man. No more of this beer. We're taking shots.
Let's go quick, yeah.
Man, I bet we took.
You're not normally a shot taker.
I'm not a big shot taker. Well, usually the caliber tequila that I'm drinking, I don't want to rush through.
Yeah.
I'm being completely honest. And the age that I'm at, I don't want to shoot the cheap stuff. So, but I happen to be with an individual it's high quality, and sometimes you shoot it, sometimes you drink it, and it ain't no skin off his back.
You just got to run with
so
it.
So I just roll with it. So it was, hey, show. It got, it got rough.
Yeah, as someone on the text line saying, show, just appreciate you have a friend like T Mill willing to buy shots. I appreciate it. Sometimes Tyler gets aggressive and forces you to have an evening that you weren't planning to have.
I don't force anyone to take the shot. I just want it to be available.
Oh, Tyler,
no, I just want it to be available. It's an option.
Tyler, your passive aggressive force is, come on. Tyler, keep pushing the glass to you. Now, I will admit, I've never turned it down, but he'll keep
not
pushing
once.
The glass
boy,
to you.
You using the phrase, would you say passive aggressive?
Yeah, it's a passive aggressive.
Oh, my wife. That's my wife. Is my wife throws that at me from time to time. I know I've messed
what?
Up.
But it's not a negative connotation.
Here's the deal.
It's not negative.
Here's the deal. T, I hope you don't take offense to this.
That means I probably will.
There's never been a moment that Tyler walks in and I thought, I bet that guy's a sipper. Old King Ding-a-ling in there.
That's it.
Look at Tyler through that glass right now. I mean, he looks like if he got out of here at 3:30, which is less than 2 minutes, he could be sitting down there at Twin Peaks with a double in front of him real quick.
The guy is drunk.
He can get through it, boy.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be drunk or
His
not.
His sips are a little different than others.
I'm a professional.
Take your time. Ain't no taking your time for tea.
Someone checked in. Screwy Louie from Austin. It must be his
That's a hell of a name.
Screwy Louie.
Like I've always said, though, Clint, if you got them, smoke them.
Deal with it.
There's a few times I've gone out, met with Tyler. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, man, just have a couple of beers and shut it on in. Roll it in.
I'm going to be honest with you.
You arrive and Tyler's got a glass that has a lime on it. And you know what time it
is. My decision of like, I'm going to go have a couple of drinks with Tyler after work. I mean, it could turn into a very expensive night because I'd probably have to get a hotel room.
To leave your car.
Instead of driving, leave my car, Uber to a hotel room. It's $200 a night.
Oh, man. Well, God.
Wake up knowing you had a hell of a night.
A hell of a night.
And I wake up safe, Bob.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of a headache, but you had a hell of a night.
Small one. Yeah. I walked into this. Boy, I was tired.
Yeah, when I came here, Figgy said, man, I didn't want to wake up.
He said, that was good. I think it was them shots that got me. Yeah, I bet it was.
Hit you every time.
All right. It looks like D'Amico Ryans is who they're zoning in on, Clint. And I want to know from you and the folks. I'm going to throw out some names. Like there's got to be a selling point, a core group of guys in which when they're doing interviews and when you're a coach, you're looking at, all right, what do they have there? I understand the draft capital, understand the ability to spend in free agency the money, but what do the Texans have there? I look at this and tell me if you think I'm wrong. Guys that are real selling points, Clint. Damian Pierce, he's a real selling point,
yes.
Right? Jalen Petrie.
Yes.
Derek Stingley.
Yes.
Christian Harris, you're not ready to put him in that group.
I ain't ready
yet?
There. I like him a lot, but I'm not ready. Yeah. I'm not ready to be the selling point.
I think he could get D'Amico going with what D'Amico likes to do. I think he could potentially at least the skill set.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you though. Show here's the deal. The concern there is
you're talking about with Christian.
Christian Harris, he's small, man.
Yeah, he's smaller than Fred Warner and Greenlaw. I've seen a lot of people thought of what he could do with Christian Harris when they see. Yeah. Fred Warner and Greenlaw.
Greenlaw's a good one though, because I know Greenlaw well. He's an Arkansas kid. I know him. I know him well. Played ball at Fayetteville High, right there by the university, and then went to Arkansas. And he was a safety in high school and moved to linebacker in college. So he is. He's built different than what Christian Harris is. Christian Harris, you look at him and you go, yeah, okay. When he walks in the room, you're like, you know, okay. Now I can see where he played corner in high school, played some safety, and was moved to linebacker. Dre Greenlaw looks like a all-out linebacker when you walk into him. You know what I mean? So I like Christian Harris a lot. I don't know that he's going to move the needle for me if I'm an incoming head coach to where I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on
him. I think he's at
dude.
Least intriguing to D'Amico.
Fair.
Tunzel, obviously, in that.
Tunzel's definitely in it for me, man. Yeah. When you look at the bookend tackles here.
Hello.
The bookend tackles on the offensive side of the football, they're there for me.
So Titus, too. See, for me, I don't know about Titus. Like, I don't know if I'm thinking, like, one, I wonder how long is he going to be here. Like, they picked up the fifth-year option. Now, after this year, they got to sign him to a longer-term deal.
Yeah.
Is Titus, like, so you think Titus is in that group? Somebody, selling point. I do.
I think when you meet with D'Amico or the candidates, I mean, and you start talking personnel, if you do get to that point, I think it's Laremy Tunsil is one of the best tackles in the ball in the game in the NFL. You got him at left tackle. We got Titus Howard under contract one more year at right tackle. We've got the ability to extend him at any point in time if we so choose. We drafted him. We developed him. And here's the deal: is we feel not we're not overconfident. We're not he's a lock if you don't re-up on Laremy Tunsil. But we feel like we've got options. If Laremy Tunsil wants to go elsewhere, then Titus Howard is – I think he would be an above-average left tackle in the league. Now, I'm not going to say he's a pro all-pro. I'm not going to say he's a pro bowler, but I believe he'd be above average.
I just, my thing is, well, are you willing to commit? And maybe you watch what he does this year if you're D'Amico or whatever, and you say, yeah, we want to commit.
In a perfect world, you just re-up him as a you know, hey, you want to stay in Houston, get a mutual deal and get it done, and then he turns into an all-world left tackle for 4 years before he gets that third contract.
Yeah. Jonathan Grenard, you put him in this group?
Nope. I know that hurts you because he's going to win.
No, it doesn't hurt me. It's an honest thing. It's very fair. I just don't know it with him. Like, the injury thing is just so – it's hard to sell because he's so injured. But when he plays,
it's impressive.
Like, you can see – like, I don't know, I'm saying he's great, but when he plays, like, you're like, okay, that guy – I mean, that guy gets eight sacks in 10 games.
I wish we could put these in tiers, Show, because he would be a second-tier. Harris would be a second-tier guy for me, and Grenard would be a second-tier guy for me.
You would line them up in the same.
Yep.
What about Nico Collins?
Yep. Ooh, he's flirting with the second tier. He may even be third.
Yeah, because that's not even a name you're selling. That's not
to
even
me,
a name
Nico's in there. Nico's in there with, like, you know, the and obviously they aren't the same, but, like, the Brevin Jordans,
Really?
Yeah, really.
I gotta give him a level ahead of Brevin Jordan.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, I
get what you're saying, but
there's just I can't just like I'm not even gonna talk about Nico in a meeting.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna talk about Brevin Jordan. Up. You're not even like that's,
right.
You're you want to easily replace him. We can do this.
If you say you sit down and say, hey, look, here's what we got on offense. Right, we got a running back, and we got a running back, and we got two tackles. We got a running back and two tackles. Other than that, I mean, that's my top tier right there.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, you know, we got some dudes we think pretty highly of. We got a first-round guard. You're going to have to do some work. You know, so, I mean, to me, that's where you're at on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's fair. I could see Nico in that. We got work, like Kenyon Green. All right. Something else to look at over the weekend with now the recent news with D'Amico Ryans, something to pay attention to, and – I got a quarterback question. I got a Brock Purdy question for Clint coming up here on the other side as we continue right here on The Drive on this beautiful Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Shout out to Figgy last night. I was a little upset. I talked to Figgy after we left the awards, the Houston Sports Awards. You know, he slid in and found a pop-up, a Bum B's Trill Burgers.
Hot. Afterwards.
Afterwards, when he left, he said there was a pop-up. Do you remember he said that, Tyler?
I think it was actually in the fan zone at the awards.
He said it was in the fan zone. Oh, yeah. I was hot. I didn't know that. I've been trying to try them burgers. And they, you know, until he opens up his store, he's opening up.
Figgy said that was amazing.
So what'd you do? Lean into Figgy about not telling you about it?
I didn't lean into him. I'm like, dang.
I would have liked to know, huh?
You should have texted somebody. out here because you can't go and just pick him up. He just does pop-ups around. That's how you got to get him. I've been wanting to try.
Well, that's what you get for having to. That's what you get for scurrying off all the damn time.
He had scurried before I did. He said they were delicious.
Well, he said he had a choice. He said it was that Trill Burger or walking into that award ceremony, and he went Trill Burger.
He went Trill Burger.
Nice.
I'd have gone to that Trill Burger. I want to try that bad. Bun B, if you're listening, why don't you pop up? Let us know. Can we get a couple of them Trill Burgers? You ain't had one, have you?
I have not had one
yet. You seem like the son of a gun that'll sneak off and have slid into one.
Get us some of them buns, Bun.
Boy, he's definitely not. If that's how you're gonna address a man,
what hamburger buns? You get
buns,
it?
Get us some of those buns, Bun.
Give me a buns, Bun.
Do you know how?
That's why we get made fun of, Tyler.
Do you know how?
That's why we get made fun of, Tyler. See what I'm saying?
You know how gracious he would be in front of Menard, Bun B. Oh, how are you? I've been a fan. I've been a fan of yours for a long time,
Mr. B.
He'd walk in that door right there. Oh, you brought us some buns, huh, Bun?
Thanks for the buns, Bun.
He'd have a tray of shots for him. That's for damn sure. All right, I just want to say this. I think Texans fans should really think about this. You know, for the Texans' sake, I hope the 49ers lose on Sunday. I really do. Because if this DeMeco Ryans thing is a serious situation, like, listen, I you root for him. I know he wants to win a championship, and his guys do. But for the Texans, I think it's better if they lose, because the Texans, hey, they got to find out who their quarterback's going to be. He's got to put together a staff. I'm not saying he hadn't thought that through yet, but you know, just different coaches out there, man. You know, these guys ain't gonna just keep waiting. You know, if they got a chance to get a job, we're seeing jobs getting filled around. He's got to put a staff together. You want to find who the OC is, Clint. So we can have real conversation on who's going to be the quarterback and what kind of quarterback would fit, because the starting quarterback, whether it's a veteran or in the draft, ain't here yet. So they need to get that going. If they win Sunday, that's another 2 weeks, Clint, another 2 weeks plus that he is focusing probably, what did you say, 18, 19, 20 hours of his focus will be on the Super Bowl for 2 weeks. You meet with him. If they lose, you can get him in here, hopefully get him hired, have the press conference or whatever, and then, bam, he and his staff are in here now, and your offseason officially starts, right? Your offseason can't start if you know who the damn coach is or the staff is or the schemes or what it is going to be. I think it's vital for the Texans to get that in as quick as possible. So, 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you are really gassed up about this Ian Rappaport, report about him being the front runner and something's changed over the last 24 hours that made that report worthy, then hell yeah. I mean, if that's where Nick and Cal are, and you better believe it'd be good to get a week's head start on whoever Denver hires and whoever, whoever Frank Reich ends up hiring, which I would imagine there's probably some familiar faces that he would hire there. But, I think a big part, I've said this from jump, if you hire a defensive-minded head coach, I am not going to let myself get too excited about it until I know who's handling the offensive side of the football, period. That's just where it's at. And maybe it's because I'm an old quarterback, but if you hire an offensive-minded quarterback, I mean, offensive-minded head coach, I ain't real worried about the defense. They're going to figure that out. Offensively, different animal for me. So, the sooner you can make that move, the better. So DeMeco can start putting his staff together if he is the dude.
Because the Texans, there's no clue of right now what the scheme is. There's no clue of what kind of quarterback fits what they want. And, you know, that conversation, I'm sure in 3 weeks is that a big of a deal. But that feels like this group needs to have that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's and I've said this before, I think that's a big reason why this job is so sexy. It's like, I don't back off of anything that I said about drafting Derek Stingley at number 3 and then playing him out of scheme for the majority of his first year in the league, the time when he wasn't hurt, could end up being a bad pick. But it beats the hell out of them drafting a guy that fits in a Lovie Smith cover 2 scheme and then bringing somebody in here that's a straight pressure guy. Now you're stuck with a corner that can't play man. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that extreme negative, whether you're talking about Nick Caserio or you're talking about how Lovie Smith, why Lovie Smith, the veteran defensive coordinator, would do that, I have no idea, by the way. But, you know, that negative, which I think is a fair, justified negative all of a sudden turns into a positive of like, hey, whatever system you bring in here, this dude's going to be able to play. And most importantly, when you put him on an island, we know damn good and well that's what he does best. That's why he was a top five pick. So that's just one example of one player. I agree with you. I think there's no, you know, you don't have a quarterback here. Like Arizona, you got to figure out whoever takes that gig, it ain't do whatever you want on offense.
No.
You got to figure out what the hell you going to do with a $240 million.
You know what the piece is.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
Like, you need whoever is going to be the offense. The quarterback thing is a huge deal. And the scheme. You need to know who's running the scheme to work with D'Amico and Nick to figure out what the quarterback situation is going to be. And not just that with the draft. If someone just texted in on the trailer, Will and Frame text line, if the 49ers win, couldn't they meet with him and announce, you know, before the Super Bowl? Yeah, they could, but he's not going to be able to work, though. He's not going to be all in with the Texans offseason.
Yeah.
He's going to be for a couple of weeks all in with his job, which he should be, with the Niners. And, you know, you would hope that he's got a staff in place by then, but, you know, you just never know with that thing. If they somehow seize their season ends, then, you know, it's full on, if he's the guy, full on all about the Texans. So that's one to watch. Speaking about his team, his game, you think Brock Purdy has done enough to keep this job moving forward after this year over Trey Lance?
Absolutely.
Like, you think for you going into next year, it's like this is a Brock Purdy show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, he's 8-0, man. I mean, he's thrown two or more touchdowns in seven of those eight games. To date, right now, he's made the big plays when they've presented themselves. You know, the big throws. And I'm sure – I hadn't watched every bit of his film. I'm sure there's throws he's missed as well. But I think for the most part, it is hard. What he's done is very, very, very difficult. It doesn't matter the scheme that he's in and what – you know, I think it's going to be hard to upseat Brock Purdy. Now, there's clearly Trey Lance has a higher ceiling. But Brock Purdy right now has done enough to be the guy, and I think they should try to move Trey Lance. Here's the thing with Trey Lance is, like, if he weren't a project, like if he weren't like the little bit of football that we've seen him play in the NFL, like there's going to be some growing pains, like some significant growing pains where you're not going to be able to make a deep run in the playoffs for a couple years. Like there's going to be some serious growing pains. Now, are you willing to take that year or the 2 years to where you got to get him through those rough stretches
You don't think Kyle can pull that off? You don't think Kyle can? I mean, it sounds like a similar thing with Lamar, and they, you know, they still made the playoffs early with him, but you don't think Kyle can pull out this?
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing though, is their style of play. Like in what Shanahan's doing, at least how Kyle Shanahan has built the 49ers right now. I'm not talking about all the Shanahan or the Kubiak tree or the McVay. I'm talking about what they have going on in San Francisco. Like you have to be on time, on schedule, and accurate within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. You have to. You flat out have to be, right? You can't. They cannot take a guy that is late on the little Y option routes and inaccurate on the screens to Christian McCaffrey and the swing routes to Debo Samuel. They can't say, well, we'll deal with that so that we get, you know, the one or two just monster throws every four games, right? Or the extra athlete at quarterback, you know, 2 years from now. Like I just don't know how you make that decision, man.
He's been good. He's been good. He's done more than just not hurt him, right? He's made some plays, and he has been a big part of it. When I look at it, I just don't know if it's been so, yo, this dude has been so good that the kid that Kyle obviously saw something that got him going to trade three first-round picks to go up and get him. He's been so good that, man, we got to move on. I feel like Brock thus far has been good enough to make it a real quarterback competition
yeah.
going into next year. Because, I mean, they gave him the keys. I mean, Trey Lance, and he broke his ankle in the first quarter of, you know, of yep. the game. And so it's not like we've watched him just struggle and struggle and struggle. But, man, they went up there. They went up there to go get him. They bypassed Justin Fields, bypassed Mac Jones, and many people thought that's who yep. they were into. I just – boy, I don't know. And now, honest to God, the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy could turn in performances where it's just like, yo.
Yeah.
I got – but
no doubt.
But up to this point, I mean, Kyle obviously saw something and was ready to shift something.
Yeah,
with this to go up again, because he's unlike anybody he's had, right? He's unlike Jimmy, unlike any, I guess, well, RG3, maybe he had him in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe
that's the point.
That's what he was envisioning to try. I just, boy, he saw something, and to cut it right now, I don't know if Brock has put together performance where it's after giving up that.
You know, the other part of that too, Show. I think he's won 8 games, 5 of them were versus versus playoff teams. 7 of the 80 threw 2 or more touchdowns. He's 13-3 interceptions. I don't count the 4th interception because it was in mop up duty early in the season before he was a starter. As a starter, he's 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I just don't know how you get more out of this particular team. You could definitely have a higher ceiling quarterback, which, by the way, the more I watch him, the more I'm blown away with, like, how was this dude the last dude drafted?
He's
more talented than he gets credit
he's
for.
He's more talented than Davis Mills. And Davis Mills no question. In the 3rd round. You know what I'm just saying?
Yep.
And I'm just using somebody that I know the audience knows.
Yeah.
Like, Davis in the 3rd round, he's far more talented. It's not just because he's coached by Kyle.
No. Like he's doing things, some of the throws that he makes. Like they throw a lot of, I can't even remember what the hell we called him, but it's like a corner route from a slot receiver, but when he goes to the corner, he shuts it down and it turns into like a corner curl type deal where he just curls right up and he throw it right at his back. I mean, he converted 3rd and 16 or 3rd and 18 and threw that at 19 or 20 yards deep. I mean, that's a big arm. I mean, he's not a big arm. Like, he's not obviously a Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes arm. But, like, you can't be a popcorn arm and make that throw on 3rd and 18. And he did it 2 or 3 times in last week's game. And so I just look at that and I'm like, damn, this kid's got a stronger arm than you think. And then all of a sudden, you know, he rolls and he kind of off-platform drops the arm slot. You're like, and it comes out hot and it's accurate. You're like, damn, he's got a better arm talent than you think, right? But I see what you're saying, because there are throws, even some of them that he makes in crunch time, were underthrows, kind of like Dax to CeeDee Lamb last week.
Yeah,
you know, so that there's a ceiling
like
there.
It would be different if they didn't give up so much to go get Trey Lance, and they didn't see like it was, and it was Kyle made the move.
Right.
So this and then a new person coming in. I don't know. It's interesting. I think a lot of people have said that, like, boy, it's his show. We'll see what Kyle thinks.
We're gonna be in one more interesting year with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Hell, the whole deal now, because Jimmy's still there too, bro.
Jimmy's still there. We know he ain't.
That's right. All right, we got an NFL Hall of Famer joining us, and the Texans have a new front runner for their open head coach position, according to the big wigs in the reporting world. And so we will see what that Hall of Famer thinks about that report and what's going on with the Texans as we speak. That's all next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, hey, hey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test?
Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.